This next story is about what happens when two safety regulations collide. A 1973 regulation to prevent this.
I awoke that morning to the sight of our son burning like a Christmas tree on fire.
His son Jimmy may never lead a normal life because his pajamas did burn. Doctors and safety experts say the best answer to cases like Jimmy's is to make clothing that won't burn.
Yes, the horror of children on fire led to mandatory flame retardant chemicals in baby clothing and furniture, which produced widespread fears of those very chemicals.
There was a chemophobia. There was a lot of concern about what are we being exposed to.
This week's Retro Report looks at the questionable science and aggressive politics of flame retardant products over the past 40 years. Jill Rosenbaum is producer for Retro Report, is with us from Washington, D.C. Welcome, Jill.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's talk, first of all, about the particular chemical that was in the 1973 regulation and how clothing and furniture manufacturers, et cetera, responded to the regulation.
Well, first, it was just pajamas at the beginning, and that maybe one way to solve the problem was to put a flame-retardant chemical on the pajamas, which they did, and it was called brominated tris. At the same time, there were some scientists starting to take interest in the effect of toxic chemicals on the human body. It was the 1970s, the era when the EPA was created, and a woman named Arlene Bloom and her scientific mentor developed a test that could look and see if a chemical was what they called a mutagen, or if it would change DNA and be likely to cause cancer. And they published a paper saying that brominated tris was, in fact, a mutagen. So there was a huge uproar, and eventually the government attempted to ban it. Anyway, brominated tris was replaced in pajamas with a similar chemical called chlorinated tris. It also was shown to be a mutagen, and the government didn't even try to ban it. It was just kind of voluntarily removed from the marketplace. But a few years later, Governor Jerry Brown in California enacted a fire safety standard for furniture, and one hand not knowing what the other hand was doing, they started using flame retardant chemicals in the polyurethane foam inside furniture in order to meet the standard.
To give you a sense of the political battle over these chemicals as an environmental hazard, here's California State Senator Mark Leno.
These same chemicals, which we took out of children's sleepwear, were now in their pillows and their blankets and their cribs and their bassinets and their strollers.
And not only the actual products, the chemicals themselves get out into the environment. Here's the U.S. government's top toxicologist, Linda Birnbaum, who works for the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences.
We didn't think that, oh, these weren't going to stay put in the product. We thought if they were in a nice cushion, that they'd stay there.
But they didn't, right, Jill?
No. Interestingly, what would happen is, say you sat down on your couch, and you know, we all have seen those little dust particles that fly up in the air when you sit down. Well, the flame retardants would leach out of the product into the dust, into the environment, into the water, even in human breast milk, surprisingly. And so eventually, you know, amounts of this stuff started building up in people's bodies, and that made it a little more worrisome.
And the effects?
Some of the effects that we're seeing are effects on the developing nervous system. We're seeing effects on the developing reproductive system. In a population of children that have been exposed to the flame retardants, those children have lower IQ, more difficulty in learning.
That's Linda Birnbaum, again, director of the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. So which wins, fire safety or chemical safety, do you think, in the end?
I think it's a false dichotomy. Because what's really been shown is that the chemicals weren't really providing much fire safety. So I think, you know, the question that you have to ask yourself is, how much chemical risk do you want to take for what kind of benefit?
Jill Rosenbaum, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jill Rosenbaum is a producer for Retro Report.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.